Praise God. Are you ready for the word tonight? I want you to turn in your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews, the 10th chapter. And I want to look specifically at verses 19 to 23. It says, "Therefore, brethren, having boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he consecrated for us through the veil, that is, his flesh, and having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful." Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. Hallelujah. The King James interprets that of "let us hold fast the confession of our faith." The New King James calls it hope. The literal word is epis, which is hope, and it literally means a favorable and confident expectation of the future. We need a favorable vision of the future. Amen. We need confident expectation of the promises of God. Amen. In verse 22, it says, "Draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith." Now, the word for faith here is the normal, typical word for faith. It's not hope, it's faith. And when he's talking in 23 about holding fast the confession of our hope, I believe he's talking about that faith in verse 22. I don't think he's changing subject, but faith ought to have a confident expectation of what lays ahead of us. Amen? Faith believes something. A lot of times you'll hear people say, "Well, I have faith." And you say, "Well, praise God, what are you believing for?" "Well, I don't know. You know, it's just like, I'm just believing for good things." It's like, well, that's not specific faith. You've got to have your notes laid out. You've got to have, you see the handwriting on the wall. This is what I'm believing for. This is what God said either to me or what God spoke to me through his word, through a word of the Lord, whatever. But I am holding on to this faith, the confident expectation of our future. This is the hope of our faith. Go with me to Romans chapter 10. We'll look at several verses tonight because there is a confession of faith. There is a confession of our hope. Excuse me. And so often we confess for a little while, but we don't hold fast. You know, we want to. Our desire is to, but we get so easily distracted by other things that we don't hold fast our confession. In Romans chapter 10, familiar scripture in verse 6, it says, "The righteousness of faith speaks in this way." So righteousness of faith speaks. If we have faith, if we are believing on Jesus, faith isn't unvocal or non-vocal. Faith is vocal. It says things. It says what is our confident hope. "But the righteousness of faith speaks in this way: do not say in your heart, 'Who will ascend into heaven?' that is to bring Christ down from above, or 'Who will descend into the abyss?' that is to bring Christ up from the dead." But what does it say? In other words, faith is not looking for someone else to get you out of the problem. Faith isn't saying, "Well, if the pastor prays for me, I'll be okay." I mean, there's nothing wrong with that, but sometimes you got to pray for yourself. Sometimes you have to do things. Sometimes you've got to stir up the gift of faith on the inside of you so you can do those things that you're believing for. Amen? So he says, excuse me, in verse 8, "What does it say? The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we preach, that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture says, 'Whoever believes on him will not be put to shame.'" Hallelujah. To believe on Jesus is more than having right doctrine. It's more than just believing the right stuff. Okay, it is believing on the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. It is the assurance and the guarantee of what we believe. If we confess, it says, and believe, we shall be saved. We shall be delivered, not put to shame. Amen. Isn't that good news? If we believe in our heart the Lord Jesus, we will not be put to shame. And we need to understand that, because so often it's like, well, I hope I believe, and if it doesn't happen, what are they going to say about me? It doesn't matter what they say about you. It matters that you believe. And you can let people talk you out of what you're believing for because you're more worried about what they have to say to you or about you than what you have to say about the Word of God and the things that God's entered into your heart. Amen? Now, Hebrews 11:1 says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, evidence of things not seen. Faith is not future, faith is now. Now I have the evidence. Now I have the things that I've hoped for. Now I have the evidence of things that I can't see, but I've got the evidence of it, the proof of it, because I have faith. I have faith that what God said He's going to come to pass. The Bible says about Abraham that Abraham believed God, not looking to his own body, not looking to the things around him. He believed God in spite of all those things, and God counted it to him as righteousness and called him a friend of God. Well, in Hebrews 10, it says, let us enter the holiest of holies with boldness, with confidence. Faith is the boldness to enter the Holy of Holies. Faith gives us the confidence to enter into the very presence of God. Amen. Now, years ago, most of you here know this story, so I won't spend a long time on it, but years ago, I'm praying for boldness. God, give me boldness. God, give me boldness. God, give me boldness. And the Holy Spirit broke in, and he said, the righteous are bold as a lion. I said, well, thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Give me boldness. Give me boldness. Give me boldness. The righteous are bold as a lion. Yes, Lord, thank you. Hallelujah for your word. God, give me boldness. Give me boldness. And finally, he just really got abrupt with me and says, the righteous are bold as a lion. I didn't have a trouble with boldness. I had a trouble with being righteous. And when you don't understand who you are in Jesus Christ, you lose your boldness. You lose your confidence. You lose that assurance that I can enter boldly into the presence of God. Boldly go to the throne room to request and to receive that which I need from the Lord. See, faith gives you that confidence. Faith gives you that boldness. I'm going into my daddy because he's got it. And when I was a kid growing up, if I wanted a piece of candy, I went to either dad or mom. And I knew that if I begged enough, I'd get it. Now, God doesn't like that, but I had confidence that my parents would give me what I wanted. I have confidence that they would not withhold good things from me. And candy was a good thing, okay? Chocolate was a good thing. I liked cauliflower. That was a good thing. I liked a lot of things. They were good things. So I would go boldly to my dad or my mom, and I'd start asking for this stuff, boldly. You know, I didn't go and say, well, Daddy, I'd really, really like to have this new toy. And, oh, Dad, if you would just see it in your heart. No, man, I went in and said, Dad, I saw a picture in the Sears Roebuck catalog, and I want this. Now, that doesn't mean that I always got it the first year. I had to work 3 years for my Ford Apache. But, oh, man, I worked for that because I'm going to get that Ford Apache. Oh, I worked hard for that. Hallelujah. I wanted me a flying airplane 1 year, you know, with a motor where you flew it around. I got one. Hallelujah. It only took me a year for that. My faith was improving. Hallelujah. But we can come boldly before God. And so many people, they lose their confidence, they lose their faith, they lose their boldness because they're so afraid. Well, what would God say if He would say no? The Bible says, come boldly into the presence of God. Come boldly into the throne room that you may obtain help and mercy in the time of your need. So God wants us to come boldly into His presence. Now, I was reading in the Believer's Bible Commentary, and I don't want to go into this in a whole great thing because there's a lot to read here, but I want to share some of the things from the Believer's Commentary about Hebrews 10, 19 to 23. And it raised the question of how should we be spiritually groomed in entering the throne room? How should we dress spiritually to come before the presence of God? And it says there's four basic things. One, we come with a true heart. And we all know about Israel, that they drew near to God with their mouth and honored God with their lips, but their heart was far from Him. Well, we need to approach God with sincerity. We don't need to fake God, because you can't con God. If you've ever tried, you know that doesn't go too far. You know, we need to come with that confidence, that boldness before God with a true heart. I mean, really, really believe in Him. Know that God is faithful. Know the person of God. Know that God is not a man that He should lie, but God is honest and truthful, and He wants to bless His children. He wants you to have good things. Amen? The second thing is we need to come in full assurance of faith. Now, confidence, this is confidence in the promises of God and with a firm conviction that we shall have a gracious reception into His presence. I like that. Gracious reception into His presence. God's not going to look at you and say, what are you doing here? Who do you think you are? Dad told me when I was older, because I asked him one time, how do you prepare sermons? I mean, you know, do you get real quiet and everything? He says, Gordon, he said, I never could get quiet. Every time I went to prepare my sermon, this little boy kept interrupting me in my study and kept crawling up in my lap. So he said, I did most of my sermons with a little boy in my lap. I mean, I just boldly, it's like, man, Dad's sitting down. I want to be with Dad. And I would just push my way, and I can remember because when he was reading a newspaper, I'd crawl up and crawl under the newspaper, and I'd just sit there with him. And he had to move the paper. It's like, that's okay. I'm on his lap. And see, this is the kind of confidence we need to have with God. Dad didn't say, well, what are you doing here? Who are you? You know, it's like he just said, oh, here's that son again. He's just coming to the Father. Well, it pleases natural parents to have their children want to love on them. If it doesn't, they need to. Okay, it pleases God to have us love on Him. It pleases God that we want to spend time with Him. Amen. It pleases God that we pray. It pleases God that we study. It pleases God in all these different areas. Well, this is the assurance of faith. I know I can approach God. I know I can go before Him. I know He will not push me away. I know He's never too busy. I know and have assurance and confidence that the promises of God will work for me. God will give me a gracious reception into His presence. The third thing is having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience. And I thought this was interesting because I had never really looked at it like this. He says, this is only brought about by the new birth. You cannot have your conscience sprinkled with the blood of Christ without being born again. But when we trust Christ, we actually begin to appropriate the value of His blood. And He sprinkles our heart with the blood of His Son, just as when the Israelites sprinkled their doorposts with the blood of the Passover lamb. So we enter because our heart is sprinkled, and we enter through the blood of the lamb. And we all know the story of the Exodus. If you put the blood on your lintels and your doorposts, the angel of death could not enter in. God put a covering, and so the angel of death can't come in. So we need to have our heart sprinkled with the blood of Christ, amen, to cleanse us of an evil conscience. An evil conscience is unbelief. And Jesus said evil is not believing in God. It's a heart of unbelief. Well, we don't want to not believe God. We want to have a good heart. But you've got to honor God. You've got to praise Him. You've got to sprinkle your heart to get rid of the evil conscience. And this needs to be on a daily basis that we enter into His presence. Because I don't know if you've noticed, but what you prayed yesterday sometimes just doesn't always seem to carry over. You know, when you go before God, He doesn't say, well, come to me once every 15 or 20 years. He says, come to me every day. Come to me every time you have a problem. Come to me, come to me, come to me, come to me. The fourth thing is to wash our bodies with pure water. And this basically represents the Word or the Holy Spirit, or the working of the Holy Spirit through the Word of God to purify us. Now, we understand that we are cleansed once and for all from the guilt of sin by the death of Christ, but we also need to be cleansed repeatedly from the defilement of sin by the Spirit through the Word. In other words, when you live in the world, stuff happens. And a lot of times we lose our sanctification. We lose our ability to love. We get frustrated. We get upset. And it's like, okay, I've got to go back to God. God, forgive me that attitude. Forgive me that I spoke evil of a brother. Forgive me, Lord, for all these things. And the devil loves to get us into division. And he'll do it with your family. He'll do it with your husband or your wife. He'll do it in your church. He'll do it where you work. He just loves to create division. The Bible says that we should give the devil no place, amen? Well, we do that by cleansing ourselves with the washing of the water by the Word of God. Now, it says in the summary of these things, it says we summarize the four requisites for entering God's presence as sincerity, assurance, salvation, and sanctification. Sincerity, assurance, salvation, and sanctification. Again, it says, hold fast to the confession of our hope. Well, why should we hold fast to the confession of our hope? Well, it's because we have a high priest of our confession. That's what Hebrews 3:1 says. Consider the apostle and high priest of our confession, Christ Jesus. Now, a high priest takes what you are offering and presents it to God. And so when we think about Jesus being the high priest of our confession, Jesus is taking what we say and offering it to the Father. He's taking our prayers, our requests, and He's offering it up to God. Now, it hit me when I was thinking about this that you don't come before the high priest and just say anything. When you come to the high priest, you must say the right thing. It means all the difference of the world. Some of us come, well, God, it's another day like this. Well, Lord, you know how it is. And they hate me and everybody's out to get me. Blah, 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 blah. Do you think Jesus is going to take that to the Father? No. So, well, Lord, I, you know, get this person. Lord, they've been really bugging me today. Just get them. So do you think Jesus is going to take that to the Father? No. So it's not just coming to our high priest and saying anything that comes into our mind, but it's saying the right things. Amen. Confession is more than words. It conveys our sincerity, our assurance, our salvation, and our sanctification. Words convey all those things. You know, we communicate by spirit and more than we do words. Because I can say, I love you. And some of you will believe that. Or I can say, I love you. And you go, oh, well, here we are again. You know, it's like you can say the same words, but there's a spirit that goes out with it. And we communicate by spirit. You may say the right words, but say it with a wrong heart. And so Jesus cannot take that spirit before the Father because he's holy. But if we have assurance, if we have salvation, if we are sincere and we're sanctified, oh, there's no problem with taking our words to the Lord. Amen. One of the things that Jesus spoke about is he spoke a lot about faith. And the Bible tells us he marveled at their faith and he marveled at their unbelief. Both ways, he marveled. When he found faith, he goes, wow, I haven't seen faith like this, not in all Israel. And yet when he was with some of the Pharisees and some of the scribes, he marveled at their unbelief. He marveled. There were places where Jesus went where he could not do many mighty works. And if we did what Jesus did in those towns, we'd have a revival. But the Bible says Jesus couldn't do many minor works or many major works. He cast out a few devils and healed a few sick people, and that was it. You know, he helped those who came to him, but there were things that he couldn't do because of their unbelief. So Jesus spoke a lot about hearing and believing. And in Matthew chapter 10, he says, therefore, whoever confesses me before men, him I also will confess before my Father who is in heaven. If we confess Jesus, if we say the things that Jesus says before men, because confession means to agree with, confession means to say the same thing as. And so when we are confessing Jesus before men, we are saying and agreeing with what God has already said. And when you say and agree with what God says, and you're sincere, and you have assurance, and you have salvation, and you walk in sanctification, Jesus has no problem taking those words to the Father. And he offers it up, a sweet-smelling sacrifice. And God goes, oh, that's my child. Go ahead and give them what they want. Go ahead. You know, the Bible says the angels are the ministers to the heirs of salvation. That's us. When we come to God with the right attitude, with the right belief, with the right confession, with the right spirit, God sends out his angels. And if he sends out his angels, then we know that God is already in the process of giving us what we want. See, Jesus is the high priest. And Jesus takes our word and he presents it to the Father, just like any high priest. He says, therefore, whoever confesses me before men, I will also confess before my Father who is in heaven. But whoever denies me before men, him I will also deny before my Father who is in heaven. If we don't agree with Jesus, if we say things contrary to what Jesus would say, Jesus said, I'm not going to take that before the Father. I'm not going to bring that before Almighty God. I'm not going to do it. So I think a lot of times our prayers are ineffective because we're confessing with the wrong heart. We're confessing with the wrong attitude because we're not really believing that we have received the things that we say. Again, in Hebrews 4:14, it says, seeing then that we have a great high priest, let us hold fast our confession. There's three times in Hebrews it says this, to hold fast our confession, to not let it go, to hold on to those things that we believe for, hold on to those things that we say, to hold on to our agreement with Jesus Christ. Because confession, again, means to say the same thing as, to agree with. And if we agree with Jesus, if we share the same confession, the same words that Jesus spoke before men, then our high priest will now confess us or agree with us before the angels of heaven, and the ministers to the heirs of salvation will be sent to us. Praise the Lord. Isn't that great? Isn't that wonderful? If we come with the right attitude, we will have what we say. And excuse me. Amos, I got a cough tonight. Amos 3:3 says, can two walk together unless they are agreed? If we're not in agreement with Jesus, we can't walk together with him. If our confession is not in line with the confession of Jesus, we can't walk with him. Jesus will walk with us as far as he can, but when we start saying things contrary to the Word of God, we start saying things contrary to Jesus, we start saying things contrary to our own life, God is not going to agree with that. And so he's not going to agree with that. He can't walk with us on those things. So we need to say the right things. We need to speak by faith. Amen. Go to Matthew 21. Got a few scriptures for you. Matthew chapter 21. Now I want to look at verses 21 and 22. Jesus said, assuredly I say to you, if you have faith and do not doubt, you will not only do what was done to this fig tree, but also if you say to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, it will be done. And listen, whatever things you ask in prayer, believing, you will receive. Whatever you ask in prayer, believing, you will receive. Whatever. That's a bold statement. But Jesus made it. He's got confidence. Man, you can do this. You can believe me. You can agree with God. And if you hold on to this, you can have what you say. He didn't say you can have one or two things. He didn't say, well, you can have the top 10, but not 11 or 12. He said, you can have anything you ask. Isn't that awesome? To think that our confession is so strong that it would move God in that way. Just as a reminder, Mark 11:23 says he will have whatever he says. John 5:15 says, and if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we have asked of him. If you know God hears us, well, that's called faith, isn't it? We know God has heard my prayer. We know that God has heard our request. We're not begging. We're not pounding at the door. Oh, God, let me in, let me in, let me in. We can come with boldness to the throne of God because we're agreeing with Jesus. We're agreeing with what he said. It's our confession. It's the words of our mouth. And Jesus said, you can have what you say if you will agree with Jesus. Amen. How many of you got to purify your heart for that? You got to get rid of the evil conscience on that. You've got to get rid of those nagging thoughts. It won't work for you. Well, why won't it work for you? Jesus said, whosoever believes, it'll work for them. If you believe and confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart, you will have the things that you ask for. You will not be put to shame. Now go to Matthew chapter 6, verse 30. Matthew 6, verse 30. I like this one. I had to hunt for this scripture. And what I was looking for when I was hunting it is, do not take a thought saying. And I had a hard time finding that because the versions are not quite what I was expecting. That's not quite what I remembered. But he says, and this is out of the New King James Version, therefore do not worry saying, what shall we eat or what shall we drink or what shall we wear? For after all these, oh, I started in 31. Let's go back up to 30. Now, if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Do you believe that God will clothe you? He says, therefore, do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? 33, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. All the natural things that we want. It's not just a confession. He says, if you seek the first of the kingdom of God, if you seek the things of righteousness and holiness, if you seek after these things, then he says, all the other things that we need, our clothing, our food, our housing, all those things God will provide for us, but we've got to seek the kingdom of God. Now, we spend an awful lot of time chasing after things. And we need to chase after God because God has all the things. And if you've got God, you've got the stuff. Amen? You've got the stuff because you have God. Amen? So he says, therefore, do not worry, saying. In other words, do not take thought, saying. Now, I think this is interesting because if you listen to most of us, we are busy confessing our worry. We're confessing our negative attitude. We're confessing our fears. And the Bible didn't say confess your fears. It says confess the Word of God. confess what you believe. Well, unfortunately, we believe our fears. Well, you never know what God's going to do. Well, I know I'll pray for this, but we'll just have to wait and see. No, that's not faith. That's not assurance. That's not sincerity. We're wishing and we're hoping, and we don't get anything because we're not letting our conscience be washed. Not letting our evil conscience be washed by the water of the Word of God. So we don't want to take thought. We don't want to take worry and say those things. We want to take the thought, because when you take those thoughts, you're taking what you're thinking. Sometimes what you think isn't all that good. You know, somebody said one time, I'm going to give you a piece of my mind. No, thank you. I don't want it. You don't have enough to spare. You know, it's like you need all the mind you can get because we're so busy being emotional, so busy doing all this other stuff that we give people a piece of our mind and then you wish you had it back right after you gave it away. And you can't undo it because words that go out are eternal and they keep going and going and going. That's why we need to believe in our heart the Word of God, speak and confess the Word of God, and believe that we have those things that we have asked God of. Amen. Go to Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. I've got it someplace in here. Again, a familiar scripture. Philippians 4, I want to start in verse 6. It says, be anxious for nothing. It sounds a lot like don't worry. Be anxious for nothing. Don't worry. Be happy. No. It says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, lovely, of a good report, if there is any virtue and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. Don't meditate on the problems. Don't meditate on the worries because it'll just make them grow bigger. But if we meditate on the Word of God, the Word grows bigger. The Word increases in us because we're spending our time seeking the kingdom of God. Amen. In James chapter 2, it talks about the tongue and see how great a force a little fire kindles. I call it trash talk. You know, we put out a lot of trash talk and just look at what it creates. We're trying to be good. You know, we're trying to say helpful things sometimes, but it's received as trash talk. And we set things on fire that we wish we wouldn't have set on fire. We start things that we really wish we hadn't started, and now you got your foot in it and you can't quite get out of it. Luke chapter 20, verse 2 says, by what authority do you do these things? The people were asking Jesus, by what authority do you do this? See, Jesus only spoke what he heard of his Father. He only did those things that he saw the Father do. And so the people, the scribes, the Pharisees came to Jesus and he said, by what authority do you do these things? When someone questions your confession, they're actually challenging your authority. Do you have the authority to agree with God? Do you have the authority to speak the things that Jesus spoke? Do you have this authority? Well, yes, because our authority is Jesus Christ. Jesus said, by my name you will cast out devils. By my name, you'll lay hands on the sick and they'll recover. By my name, by my authority, by my power. John 5:19 says, the Son can do nothing of himself but what he sees the Father do. The Son does in like manner. We can do nothing unless we see the Father doing these things. We need vision. We need insight. We need the presence of God. Amen. Debbie, could you come up and just lead everybody in prayer. I got to go downstairs.